everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Metanoia Madness. I'm your host, Nicholas, music creator, entrepreneur turned podcaster, lover of all things spiritual, mystical, and unknown. This is episode 79, The Beauty of Becoming No One, Letting Go of Who You Thought You Had to Be. Welcome back to Metanoia Madness, the podcast where we don't just grow, we unravel, we unlearn, and we remember who we were before the world told us who to be. I'm Nicholas, and today's episode is for the version of you who's tired of performing, the one who no longer feels at home in the identity they worked so hard to maintain. We don't talk enough about what it means to let go of who you thought you had to be. Not in theory, but in practice. In the quiet grief that sneaks in when you stop recognizing the person in the mirror and realize you don't want to go back. What if that's not a crisis, but a calling? Because somewhere along the way, most of us learned that the only way to matter was to become someone. Someone impressive, someone strong, someone successful, lovable, unshakable. We crafted a mask out of our wounds and called it a personality. We made identities out of the pain and called it purpose. But the truth is, identity, when tied to survival, can become a cage, even when it looks beautiful on the outside. And eventually, you outgrow the costume. So what happens when the roles stop fitting? When the stories you once told to feel safe start suffocating your growth? When the things you used to cling to, the labels, the narratives, the names, no longer feel like home? That's where we're headed today. This is a conversation about shedding, about surrendering the pressure to be someone, long enough to meet the truth beneath the performance, about trusting the in-between, that sacred space where we feel like no one, and realize that's where everything begins. Because the goal was never to become something impressive, it was to become something real. So if you're ready, let's get into it. We don't always realize how much of who we think we are was actually built in response to fear. Not truth, not inner knowing, but self-protection. And the tricky thing about fear is, it rarely introduces itself directly. Instead, it hides beneath layers that look like ambition, hyper-independence, perfectionism, or even deep spirituality. And in the name of avoiding old pain, we start constructing identities we think will protect us. The ego builds fast, especially when we're hurting. It notices every rejection, every betrayal, every time we were too much or not enough. And then it whispers, "Let me handle this. I'll keep you safe." So you start showing up in ways that feel less risky. You become the responsible one, the strong one, the wise one, the always available one. You learn how to read the room before you read yourself. You learn how to stay ahead of disappointment before anyone gets close enough to disappoint you. And slowly, the roles you created to survive start feeling like who you are. But the problem isn't that these identities exist. The problem is when they become so fused with your self-concept that you forget who you were before them. When your nervous system starts treating anything unfamiliar, even peace, even joy, as unsafe. Because safety was never about truth, it was about predictability. I've caught myself in that loop more times than I can count. I've chosen situations that echoed old patterns. Not because they felt good, but because they felt known. There were moments I could feel a door opening, an invitation to choose differently. But something in me would tighten, and I'd default. I'd reach back for that story that hurt, but didn't scare me. And that's the thing about ego. It would rather keep you in pain you can navigate than joy that you can't control. And that false sense of control, that becomes addictive. You start anticipating rejection before it happens, downplaying your own desires so you don't have to risk being unmet. You stay small in subtle ways you don't always notice, just to maintain the identity that has kept you safe for so long. But survival is not the same as peace, and identity is not the same as essence. You feel the friction of pretending. You start catching yourself in the act, saying things you no longer believe, performing roles you no longer enjoy, shrinking in ways that feel so familiar you almost miss them. That's not regression. That's awareness. That's the beginning of the unraveling. It can be destabilizing, yes, because when you let go of the version of yourself that used to hold your world together, there's a period where you're not sure who you are without it. But that gap, that space in between, is sacred. It's the opening where the real self emerges. Not the version that had to earn love or prove worthiness, but the one who existed before the masks. The one who doesn't need to be impressive or invulnerable or always on. Just present. And the irony is, the more present you become, the less interested you are in the identity altogether. You stop trying to define yourself in rigid terms and you start allowing yourself to be dynamic. You realize healing was never about becoming a perfect version of anything. It was about releasing the need to cling to who you thought you had to be. And when you stop performing for belonging, something beautiful happens. You belong to yourself again. You honor your own pace and you trust your inner rhythm over the noise of expectation. And in that space, the ego softens. Not because it's gone, but because it no longer needs to lead. That's when things start to shift. Not through force, not through performance, but through presence. Letting go of an identity isn't a loss. It's an opening, a return, a quiet homecoming to who you've always been underneath all the armor. We talk a lot about growth as a glow up, but what we don't talk about enough is the grief. The grief of realizing the person you fought so hard to become is no longer who you're meant to be. Because outgrowing yourself isn't always loud. Sometimes it's quiet, lonely, strange. You start noticing that the things that used to excite you now feel hollow. The conversations you once clung to start sounding repetitive. The roles you once found comfort in starting to feel like costumes. And there's this aching in your chest, not because something is wrong, but because something is no longer aligned. That's the kind of pain that doesn't always have language, because it's not rooted in something happening to you. It's the ache of something leaving you from within. And the thing is, no one prepares you for how disorienting it is to shed an identity you worked so hard to maintain. Even when you're grateful, even when you're ready, it can still feel like loss. Because growth means stepping into rooms where no one recognizes the version of you that's arriving. Not even you. It means mourning relationships that only knew how to love the old version of you. It means making peace with the fact that the life you once wanted might not fit anymore. It's wild how many of us stay in patterns, not because of the joy they bring us, but because they bring us recognition. Because someone somewhere still sees us as the achiever, the helper, the strong one, the fixer. And we're scared that if we stop performing, we'll stop being loved. But here's the truth. When you outgrow your roles, your relationships, your routines, you're not betraying your past self. You're honoring what they gave you and letting them rest. You're saying, thank you for getting me here, but I don't need you to carry me anymore. That moment of release, that sacred in-between, is where you meet the version of yourself who doesn't need a label to belong, who doesn't need a title to be worthy, who doesn't need to prove they're healed or spiritual or evolved to anyone. And it's in this raw, vulnerable, in-between space that something new starts to root itself. Presence. Wholeness. Real connection. Because when we stop filtering ourselves to be recognizable, we become real. And when we become real, something even more powerful happens. We become mirrors. Not just for ourselves, but for everyone we meet. The world doesn't need more people who have it all figured out. The world needs more people who are present in their becoming. Who can hold space for the discomfort of transition without needing to rush through it. Who can say, I don't have all the answers, but I'm still showing up. And when you live from that place, you give others permission to do the same. Your presence becomes a signal, a safe place, a quiet revolution. And that's when healing stops being a solo journey and starts becoming a collective remembering. Because when you allow yourself to be seen in your becoming, in the mess, in the mystery, the not quite there yet, you hold up a mirror to everyone around you. Not the kind that says, be like me, but the kind that says, you're allowed to be in it too. You become a lighthouse, not by being perfect, but by being present. It reminds me of something Rainer Maria Rilke once wrote in the Letters of the Young Poet. I don't know if I say his name right, but that's the name of the book, Letters to a Young Poet. He said, be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. That's what we're doing here. We're not rushing to the next version of ourselves. We're learning to live the questions, to be honest in the unraveling, to let this moment, however unclear, be sacred. And maybe that's what becoming is, not a destination, but a practice of returning, a devotion to staying open even when it would be easier to close. Because who you are right now in this strange in-between is already enough. There's a moment that comes when you're deep in your unraveling, a moment where everything quiets and the silence starts asking questions. not the loud kind of questions that demand answers, but the soft kind that linger, that hover in the air like echoes from your own soul. Who am I when I'm no longer performing for love? Who am I when I stop trying to prove I belong? Because for so long, many of us have tied our identity to the doing, to the grinding, to the sacrificing, the pleasing, the filtering. We become the dependable one, the high achiever, the person who always says yes, the artist willing to suffer, the healer who's always healing someone else. And somewhere along the way, we've convinced ourselves that our worth lived in those performances, that if we stopped doing them, we'd stop being enough. I know I did. It was really a time in my life when I believed I had to earn the right to call myself an artist, a creator. Constantly on the edge of burnout, just to prove that I was serious, that I had grit, that I was tough, that I wasn't lazy or delusional for wanting this creative life. I wore that struggle like a badge of honor, but underneath it, if I'm being honest, was fear. Fear that if it ever became easy, it wouldn't be worthy of it. That if I stopped suffering, I'd lose my identity as the one who made it against the odds. That belief that we have to struggle to be worthy is one of the most dangerous illusions we carry, because it doesn't just shape how we see ourselves, it shapes how we allow ourselves to receive. Abundance, love, joy, peace, they don't thrive in environments built on proving. They require presence. They require receptivity. They require the courage to say, I am enough, even if I don't suffer for it. So many of us unconsciously resist the very life we say we want because we have to let go of the identity that's addicted to the chase. We don't know who we'd be without the climb, without the chaos, without the next thing to fix or accomplish. But here's the thing. Proving is exhausting, and it's often just a disguise for old wounds that believe love has to be earned. When you begin to notice how often you do things to be validated, how often you shapeshift to be palatable, to be chosen, to be seen, you start to feel the cost of that performance. You realize how many times you've betrayed your own softness just to be taken seriously. How often you've said yes when your body was screaming no. How often you've equated effort with value. But proving will never make you feel whole, because proving is based on the idea that something about you is inherently lacking, and your soul knows better. You were never meant to earn your way into belonging. You are belonging. You are the proof. Not because of what you produce or achieve, but because of your being. When you start to unwind that proving, you begin to meet parts of yourself you didn't even know were waiting for you. The part of you that's at peace and stillness. The part of you that creates from inspiration, not pressure. The part of you that knows your value without needing applause. That's when life stops being a stage and starts becoming a sanctuary. That's when you realize maybe you were never meant to impress anyone. Maybe you're just here to remember who you are beneath all the noise. And from that place, something opens. Not a new role, not a new performance, but a quiet knowing. A clarity that can't be shaken. A relationship with life that no longer requires constant effort to feel whole. When you no longer need to prove, you're free to live. In that freedom, you discover something sacred, that you were already worthy, long before anyone noticed. We love the idea of alignment when it looks like a straight line. But what about when alignment looks like heartbreak? Like missed timing? Like having to start over? Like staying somewhere just long enough to remember your worth, then leaving before it makes sense? The detours feel cruel at first. They look like wasted time, wrong turns, unfinished chapters. But if you trace them back, really look at the path with honest eyes, you start to notice something. You never would have gotten here without that delay, that disappointment, that person who couldn't love you the way you needed. That version of you who thought they could settle and survive it. The wrong turns were never wrong. They were redirecting you. They were stripping away who you thought you needed to be so you could finally remember who you are. But you don't see that right away, because in the middle of it, all you feel is lost. You wonder if you're behind, if you've missed your moment, if maybe you're not meant for the kind of life you dream about. You start asking questions like, what if I never get there? What if it's too late? What if I've already messed it all up? But here's a truth I've had to learn. There is no there. There's only this moment and the version of you it's inviting forward. And those so-called detours taught me how to slow down, how to get quiet, how to trust something deeper than logic or plan. They taught me that clarity doesn't always come with confidence. Sometimes it shows up through surrender. And if you're open to it, that surrender becomes a turning point. It's not about giving up the dream. It's about letting go of the version of you who thinks they had to control every step of how it unfolds. Because some of the most aligned things in life will not arrive in the packaging you expect. They will not match the timeline you wrote down 5 years ago. They will not always feel comfortable when they first arrive, but they will feel true. And the truth is your compass. The path isn't about arriving at some future version of success. It's about who you become in the process of learning to trust it. And sometimes, it takes walking through what felt like the wilderness to remember that you were never lost. You were being led. And then there's this quiet kind of power that comes when you stop trying to become someone and start living from the truth of who you already are. When you're no longer performing, no longer proving, no longer chasing the version of you the world seemed to clap loudest for, you begin to soften. You begin to feel what's actually real. You start to notice the difference between the mask and the mirror, between the version of you they liked and the version of you that was quietly suffocating underneath all that applause. The truth is, most of us were taught to build an identity that was palatable, digestible, predictable, something that made other people feel safe. And even when that identity becomes heavy to carry, we told ourselves it was necessary. That if we stopped performing, we'd disappear. That if we let it all fall away, we'd have nothing left. But here's what I've come to believe. The self that feels like disappearing is often the self you no longer need. And what's left in the aftermath? When the noise dies down, when the spotlight fades, is something quieter but truer. It's the you who doesn't need to be spectacular to be worthy. The you who can rest, who can change, who can be misunderstood and still be held by something deeper than validation. This is the sacred undoing. This is the rebirth that doesn't need an audience. And it's in this space where you no longer grip so tightly to your becoming that something miraculous happens. You start living from wholeness, not effort. You start attracting alignment, not attention. You start leading with presence, not performance. Because when you're no longer striving to be someone, you create space for your soul to come forward, unfiltered, unrushed, unashamed. And in that space, your life begins to shift. Your relationships soften, your body exhales, and your voice becomes your own again. No longer an echo of what others wanted to hear. You realize that the goal was never to be a version of you that the world approved of. The goal was to be free and to become no one. Letting go of who you thought you had to be wasn't a loss. It was a return. A return to essence, to simplicity, to truth. So if you're standing at the edge of an old identity, if you're scared that letting go will make you invisible or unlovable, I hope you remember this. You were never meant to be a brand. You were meant to be a being. And who you are beneath the layers is already enough. There's no one left to impress. There's no role left to play. Just presence. Just truth. Just you. Until next week, I'm Nicholas, and this is Metanoia Madness, signing off.